Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today to look at the miracle and the grace, the gift of the Holy Spirit and the reality of Pentecost. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the programs over the last couple of weeks, I've been focusing on what some have described in the church as the two great mysteries of the church that Jesus has given to us and from which we live. The mystery of Eucharist, the celebration of Mass, the source and summit of our faith, which we've talked about quite a bit, and the mystery of Pentecost. And living in and from these two mysteries is key to entering into a vital life as a disciple of Jesus. And it's a lifelong process and a lifelong journey. We can give everything to these two realities every day and be attentive to them, and we'll keep growing and we'll go deeper, deeper into the Lord's life, which is the one thing that will satisfy our hearts. Nothing else can and nothing else will. And we will barely be scratching the surface because we're talking about the gift of the unveiling of the mystery of God and God's life itself, which is just astounding. And what a profound and a beautiful gift. And so I'm going to continue to open this up today, but continue next week as well. But if you haven't had a chance to listen to the programs, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net, and you can listen to them right there on the computer. But best thing to do is just download our app, the Renewal Ministries app that you can get at the App Store. You can listen to programs anytime at your leisure, and also encourage you to download the Ave Maria app. There's just loads of good programs and good teaching. Friends, we need to be hungering after the Lord in this hour in the church and this kind of epic moment in the culture and in the church itself. We're living through a time of great spiritual conflict, intense spiritual battle. The discipline, the redemptive discipline of the Lord is on the church. The Lord is working to expose and reveal the habit patterns of sin in the church, to expose our compromise. And it's intense and it's difficult to go through. But Jesus is doing it out of love because he wants us to be purified. Now, what seems difficult for a time, he says in Hebrews chapter 12, he talks about the discipline of a loving father. And even using that word discipline can be confusing because in some people, because of the experience they had growing up, they hear the word discipline. They can often think of maybe a father who disciplined badly. It's not the kind of image that I'm trying to conjure up, and it's important for us to see that God is love. God's merciful. Jesus said he's merciful and he's kind. He's gentle. He's loving. But he speaks the truth. And he brings about a loving, a very loving, severe mercy, you could say, that comes to us, always wanting us to come deeper into his love, always wanting us to come into deeper freedom and to come out from under the weight of the enemy, the weight of Satan and the world, the flesh and the devil that's on the church. He wants freedom. He wants healing. He wants wholeness. But sometimes if we're not paying attention, if we're not coming to him as he's extending his mercy every day, but the church gets more and more under the dominion of darkness and battling with it, and sin is gripping us, he has to come to us and expose the sin. He has to do whatever is needed for us to be able to experience the harsh effects of that reality so that we repent and come more fully and run into the arms of the Lord and receive the freedom that he wants to give us. So one of the fundamental things he wants to do is he wants to lead us more fully into the life of the Holy Spirit. The church lives from her perennial Pentecost. She lives and is fed by her Eucharist, which will be offered, the meal that gathers the people of God, the manna that we're given from heaven as we make our way through this journey to the promised land, which is living with God in heaven forever. I ended yesterday's program in paragraph 729. I want to move on to the next paragraph and just going to make our way through some of these key paragraphs from the catechism that are just so loaded with life-transforming truth if we can take it into our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to renew our minds. Paragraph 730 says, "At last Jesus' hour arrives. He commends his spirit into the Father's hands." You remember on the cross, he offered up his spirit to the Father. He commended his spirit to the Father, right? He gave up his spirit. He said, "At the very moment when by his death he conquers death, so that raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, he might immediately give the Holy Spirit by breathing on his disciples. The drama of what's happening on the cross of Jesus Christ to the eyes of the flesh just looked like another man, criminal, who was being stripped and humiliated and killed outside the city, that he was cursed. That's what the human flesh sees, the eyes of the flesh. But what was going on in the spirit was the perfect offering of the perfect sacrifice of the perfect Son of God. A perfect act of love is being offered to the Father, which will heal the human race, and which will be the doorway to salvation. And it's at that moment that Jesus destroys the power of death and Satan's claim over the human race. There's a lot to that I won't go into. Maybe I'll preach on it at some other moment, teach on it at some other moment, but that's the drama that's unfolding that the catechism is bringing us to. And remembers, in that moment, death itself is now conquered. Death does not have dominion over Christ at all. And so in the person of Jesus, at that moment, humanity's new beginning has really begun, because the powers and the hope of a new beginning is released, because Jesus destroys the power of death, which is rooted in the power of sin, which he takes away through the shedding of his blood. And this beautiful quote from Paul says, he was raised from the dead then by the glory of the Father, that he might immediately give the Holy Spirit by breathing on his disciples. Jesus breathes upon us. The Father breathed, they breathe upon us this gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit really, the word ruah really means breath. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God. It's one way of referring to and understanding the Holy Spirit. From this hour onward, the mission of Christ and the Spirit becomes the mission of the church. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. It's very important to internalize that. To have received the Holy Spirit means that we've received not only the life of God, but the mission of God, the mission of God in the world. And friends, there's no greater mission. Think about how motivated we are as human beings for the various missions that we sign up for. Maybe we have a military mission, be passionate about it. Maybe we have a mission in the business world, we're passionate about it. Maybe we have a mission in a sports team, we're passionate about it. Building university, whatever it is that we have a mission for, we see the goal, we see the value, and we dedicate ourselves to it. The greatest mission that anyone can participate in is the mission of the King, is God's mission in this world. God's mission in this world is not to come and just to, you know, straighten out some of the furniture. He comes to bring down the powers of the kingdom of darkness. There's a dominion that's set against him, a dark kingdom. It's real. It's not a fantasy. That's set against God, seeking to enslave the human race, to destroy those who bear the image of God. There's no greater battle or epic battle going on anywhere in the world, and there's no greater cause, you might say. There's no greater purpose. There's no greater end to which we can dedicate ourselves, and that is to join the mission of God and to be filled with the Spirit, to be baptized in the Spirit, to be claimed by Jesus in baptism, as is described in the sacrament of baptism, that he comes to claim us. We belong to him, and now we become children of God. What are the children of God doing? They're radically set on fulfilling the first commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, to fulfill those commandments. That's the passion that's in our heart, and to fulfill the Great Commission, go make disciples of all nations. That's what's burning in the heart of Jesus. And that's what begins to burn by the grace of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of those who belong to him, who are walking with him. And that comes over time. And it comes when we decide to say, okay, I receive the gift of the forgiveness of my sins. I receive the gift of the new creation. I receive the help that comes to me through the sacraments and the preaching of the church, and say, Jesus, I realize I'm not fully there yet. I realize my mind is still darkened in different ways. I realize my will is weak, and I still have so many attachments to this world, and I live as if Everything in this world is what counts. And I don't really have an eternal perspective. I'm not living with a passion for the things you're passionate for. Please heal my heart. Align my emotions and my mind and align my whole purpose, Lord, with your leadership. I want to be with you as the apostles are, and I want to be as radical as they are and as radical as the saints are. That's how I want to live. And I know I'm not there, but I trust you. Lord, I want to seek you. Help me, Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. So what the Spirit wants to communicate is that, first of all, you belong to the Lord, that God is your Father. And it's the Father, ultimately, it's from his heart that has come this work of salvation. And that his passion is for you to know and to experience the reality of what it means to be a child of God. And then to live as a man or woman of God in this hour, in this time, this short time you've been given on earth, to be faithful to what he's called you to. And he wants you to know that every child is a sent one. You're an apostle, a small A apostle. Every one of us, by virtue of having received the gift of the Holy Spirit, are engaged in the mission of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is what they really care about. And you can see how sick the church is in many ways, because so many of the baptized don't care about it that much. It's not in them. They hardly ever think about it. They don't spend much time praying about it. It's not something burning inside them. Well, that's a sign of a lack of spiritual health. That's a sign of being distracted, of being double-minded, of being lukewarm. And Jesus doesn't like the lukewarmness, right? What does he say in the book of Revelation? I think it's the church in Ephesus. Many good things happen in the church, but he said, I have this against you. You've lost your first love. Remember, this is all about radical love. This is all about loving God in return and being brought into the burning furnace of the love between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we start to get set on fire, like St. Francis and, you know, Teresa of Avila and others. That's where the Lord wants to take us, but we won't ever get there if we're not hungering for it and thirsting for it. So your identity, son of God, daughter of God, child of God, friend of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, you're sent in whatever part of the world, whatever vocation you have, to help extend the kingdom of God. What a high calling. Lord, come and heal the church. Shake us from our slumber. I mean, friends, it's not just lay people, but there's even clergy, even senior leaders in the church at different levels that are asleep to these things. They hardly ever talk about them. They'd rather talk about politics. That's just so lukewarm. Paragraph 731. On the day of Pentecost, when the 7 weeks of Easter had come to an end, Christ's Passover is fulfilled in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, manifested, given, and communicated as a divine person. Of his fullness, Christ the Lord pours out the Spirit in abundance. And this outpouring, paragraph 7732 will say, and it does say, it's an outpouring that will never cease. That's why it's an ongoing mystery. And we need to dive into it, to plunge into it, to step into it, and to say, Holy Spirit, come, lead me, guide me. Have a blessed weekend, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Mary's Mission, Our Response, in which he describes the extraordinary role Our Lady has in the mission of the Church. Even in our day, in this hour, the Lord is using her with such profound grace and strength. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.